All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKFC 39, which goes down on March the 24th. And it's a very intriguing main event bout for the Bantamweight Championship as Reggie Barnett Jr. defends that title against Gustav Cedermalm. And always good having Reggie on the show to talk before these fights. How's the day going there, man?
I'll be glad when the cold weather finally decides to roll out of Virginia. I want a nice, warm, sunny day to wake up in the morning and go run instead of cold.
Yeah, for sure. And just, I mean, this would seem like an exciting one for me. I mean, this is now you in the, you know, lineal champion position, no longer with like the interim tag attached to it. It's like a main event title defense. You got on that big Virginia card, like you've seemed to have wanted to for a while now. So just like all these factors considered, like what's the excitement level for this one? I would think it would be high.
I was just texting my buddy. I need to fight my own backyard. Like, I did it. I worked so hard that finally, you know, they had no choice but to allow me to fight here at home, especially within the seven cities, to go out there and just be able to perform in front of all the people who watch me through my ups and downs, my highs and lows, my struggles through adversity and that in life, have fun and do what I love to do. I'm excited. There's no pressure. It's just a fist fight. I've been in plenty of them. And now I have the energy of a lifetime behind me. I kind of feel bad for Cedermalm.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that. I was actually interviewing Isaac Doolittle recently, and he was talking about Dave Mundell and was talking about his experience and sort of used you as like a reference point to indicate like one's level of experience in the space. Like, you're definitely one of the more, you know, tenured, experienced guys and everything. I mean, probably lends itself to the educated hands moniker. I mean, you've definitely got the reps in, as it were.
Yeah, we're talking, this is my 11th fight. No disrespect. The guy's a great fighter. He's tough. I know he hits hard. But this is my show. This is what I do. This is my sport. You know, I've been here since the beginning of Daredevil. So to be at home all these years later as the world champion, everything's kind of falling into place.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a ton of things I want to, you know, get into with this card and just in general. But I mean, you kind of like touched on, you know, your opponent there and everything and kind of understanding what he brings to the table. Like, it seems like he has that background as like a European bare knuckle champion. And it seems like he had like a pretty, you know, emphatic debut with that, you know, BKFC Thailand bout that he had, to the point where, you know, the Thailand champion, or the Thailand president rather, Nick Chapman, called it like the best fight in BKFC Thailand history. Like, what have you seen out of your opponent Gustav Cedermalm in terms of like what he, you know, brings to the table stylistically? Like, what does he do well in your estimation?
He's good at his style, but his style doesn't translate into how it's really done. I'm better not for all of these reasons. I created this sport. I'm still creating this sport. So if you're only limited to what you know your style of fighting, especially if it's not how we do it over here stateside, you might have a hard time adjusting. I'm not going to give you the time to adjust. You have to figure it out after that.
Yeah, and I mean,
my mentality for this fight is Marvin Hagler's out more. You're not coming all the way across the country to my own backyard to take my fucking title from me. Excuse my language. This is not going to happen. You're going to have to fucking kill me to beat me. And so I hope he's ready for war. Like, my mentality is war. Everybody's like, oh, go out there and, you know, beat him up and be educated hands. And yeah, you know, that's the goal. But I'm not ever looking for an easy fight. So I have trained myself mentally, physically, emotionally, and I would touch and tap into the last part of spirituality for war. Like, I'm willing to die for it. We've been essentially my life work for the last 5 or 6 years. So, ain't nothing sweet over here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've carved out such a legacy so far. I mean, like, we've talked about, like, your depth of experience in Bare Knuckle, but just also it being, like, a legacy thing with, like, your dad being a big part of the journey and just, you know, 757 boxing, like, curating such a, you know, great gym culture and stuff like that. So I understand that sentiment. I mean, this is literally, like, something you've put your whole life into. So, yeah, I can understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's just a shot at, you know, a shot at a world title. This is my life's work. I'm going to give all for it. And I've been preparing myself, and I'm willing to give my all for it. And the people that know me, love me, and respect me already know how much it means to me. So they have been pushing me. And oh, man. Camp has sucked, but it's only 10 weeks of camp. I feel confident in everything that I have been working on.
Yeah, for sure. And just like we've talked about this now being like the like lineal, you know, championship and stuff like that. Like, what were your thoughts when Johnny Bedford announced his retirement? Like, obviously, you guys had a pair of classics together and everything like that. Like, and then that led to you being, you know, upgraded from the interim to the lineal status there. Like, what were your thoughts on Johnny Bedford announcing his retirement?
I was sad, but I was also vindicated in my belief that he would never come back. After our second fight, I love Johnny to death. I will forever have the utmost respect for that man. The first time I met him at BKFC 1, I didn't know who the fuck he was. Well, excuse me, I don't know why people. I didn't even know who he was, but I knew I was going to fight him one day. I did. Somebody had to tell me that he was a UFC fighter and, you know, his background. And to have those two wars with him, which I think, honestly, he won the first fight. And I know he did. But I don't know that he but I also know that I damaged him so bad that it was a risk at all for him to even come back. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting landscape in a lot of different ways, too. I mean, not that he's necessarily back in the weight category, but like Dat Nguyen being back and returning and stuff like that. Is that something you have at least a peripheral awareness of, or is that not even on your radar? Because I know you guys were supposed to fight like years back, but maybe not something you're paying attention to right now, even in a peripheral way as much.
I don't care what Dat Nguyen does with himself. I know. My group, I've proved that I'm a better man than him having to put my hands on him. When I'm cool with it. I'm going to move forward in my life, not that.
Yeah, and to the point of moving forward, like you kind of touched on the camp and everything, and I saw you had the post talking about how it's like the toughest 10-week camp and how like you really craft your camps and it's inspired by just a combination of like the imagination you have, but just a real like gluttony and, you know, like in the sense of like perfection through pain, like that kind of context. Like, what about this camp is making it the toughest? Like, obviously, like all the aforementioned factors of like being a champion, wanting to defend in your backyard, is all of that kind of playing into this being the toughest one?
That and just we say combat and life mastery, and achieving those two things in cohesion with each other forces me to evolve with it. You know? And if you go back and you look at my last couple of fights, you can see the evolution in me and my game and whatever. But we're talking about not just evolution in the ring, but outside the ring and making those. You know, somebody was like, "Damn, coach, it's like you're trying to become a Super Saiyan or something." And I'm like, maybe. Yeah. So, I mean, that was like the best reference we could have for that. So, I was like, if that's what it is, I look at it as just combat and life mastery coming together to, you know, force me to evolve again. And after you get to a certain point, you know, you either get stagnant and be comfortable with what you know, and you know, pray that that's in myself. It's kind of how a couple of the last sparring sessions we had, I almost hit that fourth wall where you're fighting with outside of yourself, where you can watch yourself fight, but you're not really there within yourself. I don't know if any other fighter.
I appreciate the, depth of insight into, where you feel like you're at now, almost an out-of-body experience, and you've always individually been, great with, the physical and mental applications for this sport, but it seems like you surround yourself with great people as well, Chase Walden, and, Britton Hart, even, someone who's readying to fight on this BKFC Norfolk event, too. Yeah, I guess I was wondering if you could speak to that work with people like Chase Walden and Britton Hart in recent times.
Oh man, so as far as me and Chase go, that's what I'm saying. Me and Chase have always changed the game. If you go back and look at my track history to before when we started working together, the progression is not like I wasn't getting good and getting better, but when you took his mind and my mind. And put it together, it just made it, the game so much better. And you see my evolution, our evolution together. I tell my coaches, I said, look, I'm just a tool. All I am is a tool. I do what you say. I ask no questions. And at the end of it, I go out there and use it. So it's really just y'all preparing me. We created a whole freaking new technique. This camp called the weapon. We created a whole new technique within the bounds of the bare knuckle fighting that is called the weapon. And am I going to use it? I don't know. I can't tell you whether I will or won't use it with the fight. Is it effective? Yes. Is it devastating? Absolutely. I've used it on, sparring partners, training partners. I had sparring partners, training partners who were capable of pulling it off, use it on me. It absolutely sucks. But like I said, it's combat mastery, and so if my body feels that sense that I have to use the weapon, then I'll use it. No, I don't. But being able to unlock those things, it's almost like playing a freaking video game. Once you get to a certain point, as long as you put in enough effort within that stage, you can unlock a new freaking move. But we did. And when we talk about my strength and my conditioning training, my coach Tom has been, he said yesterday that I put up more weight easier than I put up anywhere. Heavier weight easier than I put up. If that's not strength or growing. And then me and my dad last night, we were in the gym, just me and Pop, working on some techniques and stuff. And, he gave me a few extra old school tools. So it's all coming together, man. I'm excited to go out there and use it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And we've talked about your experience in BKFC in many history-making ways. You're the most experienced person as far as total amount of fights, becoming a champion after, debuting on the event. You talk about this new technique you've developed and something that you can really use to great effect, and it could potentially come into play here. I'm curious because you're very experienced, as we're talking about, how do you, curate your sparring now for bare knuckle? Because obviously much is made of the fact that it's hard to, do sparring in a bare knuckle kind of sense. You're an experienced guy.
It is not, Britton Hart came up here to train with, wherever she came from. He trained with me for a couple of days in the weekend. And I'm not bursting her bubble, but I guess I am. I was like, all right, Britton, get your MMA gloves. I was like, I got my custom-made bare-knuckle gloves for sparring. I've had for sparring since inception of bare-knuckle. I was like, so we can do some bare-knuckle sparring. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, Britton, you never bare-knuckle sparring before? And she was like, no, I was like, wait, this whole time, you've never bare-knuckle sparring? She was like, no, we've never done that before. And I looked at my little training partner, Trevor, who's been with me since bare knuckle one, and I looked, I said, Trevor, how long have we been bare knuckle sparring? He said, since day one. He's like, but we had to change a few things up because me and Brandon both left the gym with black matching black eyes one time. And it started laughing, and I'm like, that's why, you know, I'm on a different level than other people. They don't, you gotta take some risks, you gotta dare to be great, and then that. You gotta prepare for what you're gonna do. You can't just go into a bare knuckle fight and never been in a bare knuckle fight. That makes absolutely no damn sense to me. So, I gave Britt her first ever bare knuckle sparring lesson, and I tested her a little bit, you know, just to see and where her championship level was at compared to mine. And she shared it. She talked, you know, I'm not the one to bring it off. All the way out of her, I can tell that she's got it inside of her. So it's with my hope the rest of her camp and her training that when the time comes and it's got to be brought out, it'll manifest itself. But yeah, different levels of this game. When she told me that, I was just freaking shocked. And I'm thinking, how many other guys out there have never bare knuckle sparred before? They just got here and fought and not really understood the essence of what you're doing.
Yeah, because like even from my layman perspective, like I was inclined to think that if you were wanting to like at least replicate the range, like you would want to do like the 4 ounce MMA gloves and everything. It seems like a lot of times with like at least what I've seen like footage wise of people training, it's like they use like the Queensbury rules gloves for certain sequences, or it's like when they are bare knuckle, it's like with like punching the sand or like hitting the Muay Thai boards. So yeah, I mean, it seems like that would be the methodology, like using the smaller gloves. But again, going back to, you know, why they call you educated hands. But something else I wanted to, you know, touch on, because I mean, obviously this is like a, you know, history making fight potentially. Like the last time we talked, I mean, we were talking about how no one at bantamweight has really like successfully defended the title.
Nobody has defended the title, and I will. I'm going to defend the title, and then I'm going to go take another. That is the game plan. I'm going to solidify my legacy and add a little tree branch off to the left or right.
I was going to say, it seems like we're on the same wavelength with that. I was going to ask about that because we also touched on your interest to go like down to 125 the last time we were kind of chopping it up there. And I mean, that's still like a, you know, vacant position. And I was seeing a headline recently I found kind of interesting. It was from John Dodson, and he was saying it was embarrassing that you turned him down at Knucklemania 3 and said he was going to KO you in the first round and all of this and win the flyweight title. Did you see that? And if so, what were your thoughts on that?
No, I've never been offered a fight with him at Knucklemania. It just wasn't possible, because when I walked out of the ring after the Gina Herrera fight, I looked at the assistant deputy director of the Virginia Commission, and I looked at Dave Feldman Jr., and I said, did I earn my fight at home? And they both smiled and said, yes, March 24th. So I knew the moment that I got out of the ring with Gene Herrera that my next fight was going to be at home. So how do you say that I turned down a fight with you at Knucklemania, which was where your home, Albuquerque, New Mexico, when I already knew months before your fight was even scheduled that I knew I was fighting at home? That just shows the positivity of his statement, you know, and that he's just lying to try to goad me. You know, all that, which is fine. You know, if that's the game you feel like you need to play, if you got to chase my clout to make you feel better about your two little wins, that's cool. But we're on different wavelengths, and we're not on the same level. My level is way higher than this. I don't care whether you fought in USC or not. This is the BKFC, and I'm top dog.
So that's interesting. Like, you don't necessarily, from what you're saying, seem very impressed by what he's done so far in BKFC. But that being said, like, do you still see that inaugural flyweight title fight being yourself versus him? Like, could that be, I mean, not overlooking this fight, but could that be the next fight after this?
I don't know, man. Whatever path is laid before me, I'm going to walk it to the best of my ability. That's it. And if he's really that, I can just say if he's really that, if he really wants to get punched in the mouth, I'm that bad. And sometime before I'm done with this, I will gladly come down to 125 and punch him in his mouth for life.
And I mean, you're already number three pound for pound, but I think winning another title in a different category could even, you know, greater serve that. I mean, like, as we're talking, like, your legacy already secured, but, like, you're talking about kind of, like, even adding more to it. So I feel like that could really serve both of those masters as well.
I told Luis Palomino, I love him, I respect him. That is a great man. But I also told him that I was coming for his number one spot, number one pound. Solidify my legacy and growing in Crocker in another way class. We'll do that. 100%.
I mean, I'm sure he would understand that sentiment, though. I feel like guys at your level, if you're not striving to, you know, be the best that's ever done it, it's like you wouldn't have been able to, you know, get to that level in the first place. So I'm sure he kind of gets where you're coming from, I would think.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I'm just gonna keep working towards, you know, the goals that I've set for myself, so that I can do the things that I wanted to do within my community. You know, I'm still a big advocate for End Up Gloves Up, Guns Down, and we just did a community event this past Saturday. We had local talent competition to, you know, get some local talent recognized. You know, somebody has to perform for me out for my fight, and it was the first time on a big stage performing in front of, you know, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people watching around the world. So just when I do the things that I need to do and focus on my goals, and I'm able to help other people achieve their goals, and that's what's most important. And then I need to go out there and beat people up and have fun at worship for God in a sense of just opening doors. I got couple of young men who I watched fight as amateur mixed martial artists into the pros that are now fighting on the card with me here in the gym. When he came in and he told me, I said, dang right, let me teach you. So that's what it's about, man. And I'm excited to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know we can always look forward to seeing great in-ring action from you when you get out there, but it's awesome that you've got a great entrance cooked up and very in line with, you know, how you strike me, like a very community-oriented guy. So it's cool you're giving that sort of, you know, spotlight and platform to, you know, that individual and just, you know, the people involved in that. So it just sounds great. Sounds like it's going to be a, you know, very memorable night here and everything like that. And just very appreciate you coming on the show. Very much do appreciate that, I should say. And yeah, it's always fun getting to chop it up with you a bit before these big fights, but I do want to be mindful of your presumably busy schedule, Reggie. So to that point, is there any like parting final thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here, man?
Well, of course, always thank you, Nolan, so much for bringing me on. Like I said, sorry, I'd be glad when the cold weather goes away. I still got a bit of stuff in those, but I think I'll recover. A big shout out to all my supporters, my sponsors. There's like 15 of y'all. If you want to find out, go look on my educatedhands.com or follow me on Instagram _EAZ_. March 24th, Norfolk Scope, first time in bare knuckle, first time in Virginia history, legally sanctioned. I'm defending my 135-pound world title. Man, words can never put the feeling into expression when I finally hit that catwalk and it's go time. If you're in the area, you might as well come watch. If you ain't in the area, make sure you download that BKTV app. Is that a good plug? Did I do it? I plug my fight. No, thank you so much, man. It's always great to chop it up, you know. Just sorry I'm a little uncanny and just tell you how it is, man. I'm ready to go. Next week is the biggest week of my life, and I'm looking forward to whatever challenges that come my way within in and outside the room.
Yeah, it's a mutual thing, man. It's always great getting to, you know, chat with you and stuff like that. And I mean, just a great, you know, grassroots story, like we've been talking about, like debuting on the first event and just where you're at now in the hometown, readying to defend the title. So very excited to see that when it goes down on March 24th. But until then, you enjoy the rest of your day there, man.
Me too, man.